Hello and welcome to the inaugural edition. Is that the right term? The
inaugural
edition? The first edition of a podcast that we call In the Shadow of the Evening Trees.
Yes.
My name is Dave Von Ebers.
And I'm Jennifer Von Ebers.
And we are a married couple in the Chicago area, and we've been married for 26 years.
Yep.
But you might ask yourself, okay, so why are these boring old people doing a podcast? Aside from the fact that everybody does a podcast, I think, wasn't it Andy Warhol?
We're just trying to be cool.
Andy Warhol, who said that in the future, everyone will have a podcast for 15 minutes. That is such a cliche joke. I'm sorry. But so we thought we would do this because, although we might seem from the outside, as kind of the typical boring married couple from the Midwest, our story is actually kind of different. It's unusual. And you may have seen from the banner on our website or from the description of the podcast that the general subject matter of it is what you would call, what I've heard called before, I don't know if it's the right term or not, but what I've heard called before, a mixed orientation marriage.
Yes.
And if that sounds strange to you, it's because it's not necessarily, the most common thing. But so before we get into that, I thought I would just mention, where the name of the podcast comes from, because it's tied to the theme of our podcast. But the phrase In the Shadow of the Evening Trees might be familiar to you if you are a fan of Bruce Springsteen. This is not going to be a Bruce Springsteen podcast.
We are fans of Bruce, but
I'm not going to break out my guitar and do my mediocre renditions of Bruce Springsteen songs, although I could. But the point is, if you're familiar with that song, it's a song that came out in the 1980s. I think it was on the Tunnel of Love, I guess it was on the Lucky Town album. Anyway, it was on that series of albums that he did when he kind of broke up the E Street Band and went out on his own. And the song is about a marriage or romantic relationships from kind of a grown-up perspective. And the song, I don't think I mentioned the title of the song. The song is called If I Should Fall Behind. And the idea, I think, in the song is that, as you get older and you're in a relationship for a long period of time, people kind of get out of sync, right? They're not always walking right in step with one another. And, the way a good relationship should work is that it's okay to get out of sync. But if one person falls behind, the other person waits for them and vice versa, right? You don't let that being out of sync, ruin the relationship. And so coming back to the theme of our show and what we plan to talk about, not exclusively, but the main thing is that, so as I said, our relationship is a bit different because we are that term that keeps coming up that I keep seeing online. We are a mixed orientation marriage. And what does that mean for us? Well, I'm gay.
And I know that.
And Jennifer knows that. I gestured to her because I was expecting her to say, and I'm straight.
And I'm straight.
But, that's where the term comes from. And at some point, we should talk more about the term because I feel like it's not necessarily the most accurate term, for the kinds of things that we want to talk about on the show, that there are other sort of permutations. But, in our case, the mixed orientation is that we're not both straight. There's other relationships where you might have a bisexual person and a straight person, a bisexual person and a gay person. There's other permutations, and we can talk about that. But that's what we are and where we're coming from. And you may say, well, that's kind of weird. And I get that. I understand why that would be hard for people to understand and, hard for people to grasp. And that's kind of why we wanted to do this, is to just kind of share where we're coming from and give, people some information and also perhaps, provide some sort of community for other people who might be in similar situations.
Definitely, because I think it's a thing that's not really talked about a lot.
Right.
And then if you are to look up anything online, usually it's not a positive thing.
Right.
And so we wanted to share a positive story.
Right. And one of the things, it's funny, you know, over the past few weeks, we've been talking about doing this. We've been thinking about what it would look like, what it would sound like, trying to come up with a title, trying to think of things we would talk about. And during that same period of time, you know, we're just kind of living our lives as, you know, kind of boring old married people. And one thing that we do a lot is we watch a lot of trivia shows on TV when we have actual time to relax and watch things.
Right.
And, you know, so we'll watch Jeopardy, we'll watch Masterminds. You may be hearing some noise in the background. Those would be our insane cats. Yeah.
They're actually roaming free. We don't have them.
Right. They're roaming free and making a lot of noise because they want attention. But anyway, so getting back to our point. So we watch a lot of trivia shows. We watch Masterminds. We watch Jeopardy. We watch reruns of Cash Cab and things like this. And there's a story that's come up at least a couple of times. I think it's maybe two or three times. And I think it's been on almost every show we've watched. It's a story that I never heard about, but it really struck me as we were planning this podcast. It really struck me that it was sort of an analogy to what our life experience is like. And the story is about an English zoologist and naturalist whose name was George Shaw in the late 18th century. He was the first person, essentially, or one of the first people outside of Australia to try to describe the duck-billed platypus, right? I mean, we all know that from when we were kids. It's a mammal, but it lays eggs. It looks kind of like a beaver, but it's got this kind of leathery bill like a duck. It's a very strange animal. We're familiar with it. Most of us are familiar with it because it's the kind of thing you learn about in school. But in 1799, when this English zoologist got, I thought he actually went to Australia. I subsequently looked it up online. It turns out he didn't go to Australia, but someone from Australia.
Gotcha.
Sent him the pelt and the bill of this platypus. And the point is, when he saw this bizarre animal and heard about it, he thought it was a hoax. He thought it couldn't possibly be real, that someone had basically taken a duck bill or a piece of leather designed to look like a duck bill and literally sewed it onto the pelt of a beaver. Because in his experience, it made no sense, right? He was a guy who studied animals in what we now know as the United Kingdom, and I guess in Europe. He was familiar with animals that were common there. But this was something totally outside his realm of experience. And it's not that he was a bad person or a closed-minded person. He just didn't have any experience with this thing. And it didn't make any sense based on what he knew and understood to be like real life, right? He couldn't envision a mammal that would lay eggs. He didn't understand why this thing that appeared to be a beaver would have the bill that really looked like a duck. So it made no sense to him. Well, I was thinking about that story because it came up so many times.
I know, which was weird.
Oddly, right. And then I started to think, yeah, but you know, from the platypus's point of view, this was all completely normal.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Like the platypus didn't see anything odd about the fact that it laid eggs or had a duck bill or web feet or a tail that was like a beaver's tail. This is just what the platypus knew.
Right.
That's who he was, right? Or it or she or whatever.
Right.
And that's what I'm trying to say. If you come across a relationship like ours, you're going to say, well, you know, that doesn't make any sense.
Or why are you still together?
Right.
Like, yeah.
Because it's not your experience, although it is the experience of many people. And it's just like, it sort of like defies the logic of your world, maybe. And I don't want to make any assumptions about people who might be listening, but I think that's not an uncommon reaction.
Definitely.
People go, I don't understand. This doesn't add up in my mind. And I think that's just because you haven't really necessarily known people like us. Or maybe you have. It wouldn't actually be that surprising
that's
if you
true.
Did. But people don't necessarily talk about it. So what I'm trying to say is, and maybe this is not the way to sell a podcast, we're really normal people.
We are.
Normal to us, but in a sense, you know, just this is our life. It's like a, you know, like the David Foster Wallace story about the fish being in water and the fish doesn't know it's in water because that's just its existence, right? This is who we are, and it's perfectly normal to us. But like you were saying before, a lot of people, you know, they don't get it, and it does feel weird, odd, uncomfortable, out of place. And so they make a lot of assumptions about it. But so that's partly why we wanted to do this, is to kind of explain to people who might not understand that, you know, we understand why it might seem strange to you, or it might not sort of add up in your minds, but to us it's actually very normal.
Yep. And has been for a while.
And we can talk about that. I mean, you know, everybody kind of has their own origin story. We can talk about how this came to be in that sense. But I think really up front, before getting into that, I just, you know, for this inaugural or initial episode, I really just want to kind of like get people used to the idea that it's not that unusual and that it is, you know, or can be a very normal thing.
And also to, you know, obviously by explaining our experience, maybe others listening have similar experiences, right, or know people and things, that we can create some kind of community where, yeah, you know, it can be talked more out in the open.
Right. And you mentioned earlier, you know, if you run a Google search, you look things up online, you know, you do get all kinds of, I would say, negative results. Mm-hmm. You know, people... There are even articles and studies, and it's all, you know, it tends to be all either kind of salacious, like, you know, this person lied to their spouse about who they were, and they really had this secret life on the side, and they were, you know, and it's all about betrayal and dishonesty and that sort of thing. Or on the other hand, it's like, well, there must be some form of mental illness involved, or, you know, you need therapy, or the only way you can stay together is if you do this, that, or the other thing. And it's all, frankly, very judgmental.
Yes.
And one thing I would point out, because I think our experience could be misinterpreted, you know, our life and our relationship and our marriage is not some kind of political statement. One thing I would just say, and I really want to stress this, and we can come back to this in other contexts, because we are very, very pro-LGBTQ+. We support, you know, every kind of adult consenting relationship there is. And so what I don't want anybody to do is to think that somehow or another our message is, if you are in a relationship and an opposite sex relationship and you're gay and the other person is straight, that you have to pretend you're not, or you have to live a lie, or you have to live as a straight, you know, pretend to be a straight person. That's not the point at all.
No.
And I say that because, you know, we're a bit older and we grew up in a time when, you know, gay people were told that. They were told, you just have to pretend you're not. You just have to suppress it. Or, you know, I'm sure, heard of conversion therapy and things like this, where people are told that they have to learn how to live as straight people. And that is not at all the message of this show.
No.
We chose to stay together for our own reasons, and we'll talk about that over time. And, you know, I've often said that from my perspective, it was, I made a commitment, we have children, I want to stick with my commitment. But again, that's not to say anyone else in a similar situation has to follow our path.
Absolutely.
So I do want to, you know, it's this sort of balancing act between trying to explain who we are and how in so many ways it's really very, very normal.
Yes. You know?
But then also say to people, you have to figure out what makes sense for you if you find yourself in a situation like that, right? And no one has to live a lie. And that's partly why I wanted to do this.
Right.
Because I want to be able to say who I am and not feel as though I have to pretend to be something other than who I am. But our marriage still matters to me and to you.
Absolutely.
So I think that's really kind of the genesis behind the whole idea.
Well, and I do think that, like you said, for so many people who struggle with, you know, their identity, whatever, and who wait because they think their family won't get it, they right. won't think, you know, they won't be able to get a job, whatever it may be, is just not the way that anybody should have to live, kind right. of thing. And we applaud, we celebrate other people in our lives who, you know, make, you know, changes in their lives, and we're like their biggest cheerleader, and we want to, that's what everybody should have.
Right. And the thing too is, I mean, you touched on something really important. And again, I mean, I think that when it comes to kind of like I said, our origin story, you know, that's a common, that's a thing these days.
Right.
Everybody has to have an origin story. When it comes to that, I think, you know, that's something maybe we can talk about in a little greater detail in a later episode. But it is important to understand that people do not always fully know themselves, right? And there's a wide variety of reasons for that. So you do go through changes. It doesn't mean, you know, that if you're in my situation, it doesn't mean, well, you used to be straight and then you went through another phase and you know, and now you're gay or whatever. That's not the point. But the, I hate to use the word journey because it sounds so new agey.
Right.
But, you know, it is kind of like a journey, and people kind of discover themselves at different points in their lives. And I think that, you know, that is also something you have to understand if you look at a situation like ours, is that when, you know, especially because we're older, when you're a younger person and you're, you know, you're living in an environment that's not necessarily as friendly as it could be.
Yes.
To who you are, you know, you're not necessarily, you know, some people will rebel against that and they'll be able to recognize who they are and stand up and say it, and other people won't. And that's, again, you know, that's just part of life. And that's just, you know, the journey. Life is very weird.
It is.
It really is. When you think about it, we have mammals that lay eggs.
Right.
We have, no. Well, we do, but that's not.
And
really
it's also, you know, it's challenging and it's hard
yeah.
to, you know, raise a family, raise children, work, you know, do all that stuff. Our children are grown now, but it's like when I see people who are in the thick of it, you know, and just thinking back of like, you know,
yeah.
how busy we were, just making things happen. It's just, it's a lot.
And I want to kind of circle back to the term that we used and, you know, for lack of a better term, is the term I think that fits kind of our situation. We're talking about, you know, being in a mixed orientation. Pardon me. I'm not getting choked up. We're new at this.
Yes.
So, getting back to that term, I mean, I think it is, it's not that it's an offensive term. I don't mean it that way, but I think it's not as inclusive as it could be. And I'm not sure, and maybe as we go, we'll come up with better terms, but there are so many different permutations that might be similar to ours, but not exactly the same. So obviously, you know, I mentioned before, you could have a situation where you might have someone who's bi and they're married either to a person of the same sex or a person of the opposite sex. And from the outside perspective, you might say, well, it doesn't really matter that that person's bi because you may be a bi man, but you're married to a woman. So you're really, you know, you're in a straight relationship. You're just straight. But you're not, though. That person has the right to say, well, no, actually, I'm bi. That's who I am.
That doesn't go away.
Right. So you don't want to, like, deny a person's existence just because you might look at their relationship and say, oh, you have two people of the same sex. They must be gay. Well, one of them might be bi and the other's gay, whatever. But even beyond that, I mean, there are so many other possibilities in life. You could have a person who's transgender and a person who's non-binary. You could have a person who's intersex. And we, you know, there was a time when intersex people were supposed to be treated as though, well, you're not really intersex. Now you're a boy or you're a girl. Well, no, you're intersex. That's a thing. We shouldn't be, afraid of what that is. That's who a person is. Similarly, you know, you could have a person who is a cisgender woman and a transgender woman in a relationship. And it would be tempting if you have issues with people who are transgender, maybe you say, oh, well, that's not really a transgender woman, that's really a man. So they're really just a straight couple. You know, no, they're not. This person is transgender, this person is cisgender, but they're in a relationship together. That's who they are, and that's perfectly fine. And so that's why, you know, the term mixed orientation applies to our situation. But I think that there's a broader community of people who face similar things. And going back to the song for a second and why, you know, that's a song that I've always really liked. And it really, you know, struck me as a really kind of a mature song about, you know, grown-up relationships. But, you know, the one thing about that song is it also talks about how everybody kind of needs that in their life, you know. A long-term stable relationship, no matter who you are and no matter what your circumstances, that's like a really basic human need.
Right.
Right? And so, you know, if a person is trans, if a person's non-binary, if a person's intersex, if they're questioning, if they're, you know, whatever else a person might be, they still almost always will have that real basic human need. Like, you need to eat and sleep and breathe,
yeah.
You know, to have a relationship that is, you know, really meaningful and long-term and stable.
Right.
Right? And so I struggle a little bit with the terminology simply because I don't want to exclude people who aren't really, you know, I mean, if you have, just to take an example I used a minute ago, if you have a cisgender woman and a transgender woman, they will look at that situation and say, okay, well, we are in a same-sex marriage or we are in a same-gender marriage, whatever, right? But so they might say, well, but it's not mixed orientation. We're the same orientation, right? Cool, that's great, that's fine. But you could very well still face the same kinds of issues because a person looking at you from the outside, looking at your relationship from the outside, is going to make assumptions.
They're going to make assumptions.
And I don't necessarily mean to be judgmental and criticize people for making those assumptions because that's kind of human nature. And that's why I like the platypus story.
Yeah.
You know, because we do. We all kind of live in a world where we think we know what the parameters are and the rules are, and we have a certain understanding of how things work. And that's okay. That isn't even necessarily biased or prejudiced or anything like that. But you have to be willing to accept the fact that your basic assumptions about life aren't always right and always accurate.
And I think that just being able to, I mean, we've been together for a very long time, but like David said, just having the comfort and the support of being in a long-term relationship is very important to us. So,
and the irony, I don't know if it's ironic or not. I mean, sometimes people misuse that word, and maybe I was just about to, but the truth about our relationship is that, you know, I don't think that I could have really fully come to understand myself if we weren't in this relationship, because you need the support of another person, especially if you're someone who like doesn't really know who you are.
Right.
Right. I mean, that's a challenging thing to try to figure out. And it's really, really hard to do on your own. And so, you know, we might not be here. Well, I wouldn't necessarily be I would be here, but I wouldn't necessarily be
right.
be here in the sense of being here who I am and all that, you know, without our relationship. So it's kind of a funny thing, you know, if we hadn't gotten together or we hadn't formed that sort of bond, I may never have figured things out, right? So that's another thing just to take into consideration is that, you know, if a person is kind of struggling to figure out who they are, sometimes they just need someone else in their life to be supportive and to be there. And, you know, anyway, we'll talk about that in future episodes.
We will. And I think that we just want to like also say like we're proud of who we are.
Yeah.
You know, and our relationship, and it's something that we shouldn't have to feel like we have to pretend or that it isn't. It's something else.
Right. And you know, and that's the thing is that like a lot of people might say, well, okay, but it's great that you're in this relationship, but what's the point of talking about it, or what's the point of talking about this aspect of your relationship, because you're just a married couple and that's cool, and just be happy that you're a married couple. And I get that, and that, and I understand why to a heterosexual couple, or maybe to a gay couple, that might seem like, you know, what's the point of talking about it? And I think you know, it's like you need to be able to acknowledge and express who you are. And the thing about orientation and identity is, you know, it's not necessarily an outwardly visible thing. I'm not going to go up to a random person on the street and say, "Hey, how are you? I'm gay." Right? You just don't do that. You don't introduce conversations that way.
Yeah. You don't have to have a button on your shirt.
Right. And but they're not going to necessarily know that, if you know. So there's just times when you feel like you have to be able to say, "Okay, this is who I am." It's only a small part of who you are. Well, I wouldn't say, let me take that back. It's not a small part of who you are. It's a big part of who you are. But it's not like everything you do is, oh, you know, I don't play guitar, I play gay guitar. You know, I don't make coffee, I make gay coffee, right? I mean, right. It's not like that. I mean, but you do want to be able to say, I think everybody needs that. I think, you know, I grew up being, you know, part Irish. My mother's family was Irish. That was always a big deal to me. I mean, it's not like I think Irish people are better than anybody else, but you kind of want to be able to say, oh, you know, I'm Irish, I'm this, I'm that. You know, identity kind of matters on that level, because it gives you a sense of pride, it gives you a sense of belonging, it gives you a sense of self. But when it's something that's not like necessarily visible, and it's something that you can't necessarily just bring up in conversation,
right?
You got to kind of find other ways to embrace it and maybe talk about it from time to time.
And that's what this podcast is going to be about.
And that's what it's going to be about. It's not really going to be about platypuses, and it's not going to necessarily be about Bruce Springsteen. Although at some point I actually do have... I do want to talk about why Bruce is very well loved by a lot of queer folk. And that may surprise you, yeah. But that's a topic we can talk about another time.
Definitely.
But I do think that has something to do with why I was a huge fan. Well, we'll get into that in another time.
So we hope you enjoyed our first episode of many that are going to come.
Yep.
And we will definitely let you know when it is, when these get posted, so you can know when we're doing it.
Yep. We'll try to stick to a fairly regular schedule. We'll keep it to around half an hour. We're approaching that time right now. And, you know, we would really love to get any feedback.
Yep.
At least positive feedback. We're not necessarily interested in the trolls. But,
yeah. We're not going to start fights.
We're not going to start fights because you can't handle this. So I like to tell people I'm half Irish. I'm half Irish and all lawyer. So you don't want to argue with me.
Right.
Anyway. Sorry, Mom.
But we appreciate you listening, and yeah. We look forward to sharing more about us and our story in future episodes to come.
So thanks for listening.
Thank you.